This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A pivot by the Donald. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, May 5th. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Presumptive Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has reversed course after rejecting outside money for his primary campaign. He now says he'll pursue it for the general campaign.
The U.S. Justice Department says a North Carolina law that limits protections for LGBT people violates civil rights laws and is threatening to withhold federal funding.
A raging wildfire in Canada that's already forced 88,000 to evacuate has gotten worse for the city of Fort McMurray, and it's spreading.
And teens and parents spend some 5 hours a day on their phones and other devices. We'll examine ways to dial it back.
When both teenagers and parents were made aware of the risks, both groups indicated that they would be willing to change their tech device habits in order to be healthy. And 90% of parents said that they would likely change their own personal tech device habits to be a better role model for their children.
Dr. Janie Handelsman on a digital diet for the family to avoid speech and hearing complications. She's here in about 20 minutes. An enormous wildfire in Alberta could very well be Canada's costliest natural disaster. Not only has the blaze forced all 88,000 people to flee the western oil city of Fort McMurray and burned down 1,600 structures, but it's also now threatening its airport and communities well south of the town. Worsening fire conditions yesterday pushed walls of flames toward thousands of more homes in the heart of Canada's oil sands region. Justin Trudeau is the Canadian Prime Minister.
Our thoughts are turning to our friends in Alberta. Obviously, Fort McMurray being evacuated has been extremely difficult, not just for the province and officials, but for the folks who live there.
It's so bad that officials on the scene were forced to evacuate their makeshift emergency operations center for the second time in less than 24 hours as the flames spread. Officials at the center said in a tweet that they were relocating about 150 miles south. There have been no reported casualties from the fire itself, but fatalities were reported in at least one car crash among the evacuees. Thousands bunked down in arenas, hockey rinks, and oil work camps, often lacking fuel and food. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump has answered a key question about financing his general election campaign, with Ohio Governor John Kasich dropping out of the race yesterday. Mr. Trump is the presumptive nominee as the only Republican remaining in the race. And the New York real estate developer now says he will actively raise money to ensure he has enough to compete with Democrat Hillary Clinton. He was on the Fox News channel by phone.
I'm not looking for myself. I'm looking for the party, where the party, you know, is going to receive a lot of money so the party can compete, including its Senate races, including its congressional races.
This is a shift for Mr. Trump, who largely self-financed his primary campaign, and during that time painted his Republican opponents as puppets for relying on super PACs and taking contributions from wealthy donors who wanted something in return. The Wall Street Journal says his campaign also is beginning to work with the Republican National Committee to set up a joint fundraising operation. It's estimated that he would need at least $1 billion to pay for a general election campaign. The debate over Mr. Trump's path to a White House victory in the general election has been underway for months, with his Republican rivals portraying him as too unpopular and divisive to win. That's a view widely held by many establishment Republicans and even more on the left. Wall Street Journal reporter Neil King has a look at the rough outlines of the race against likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton 6 months before Election Day. Neil, tell us about the map.
Well, obviously, at this point, it's pretty clear that the election, barring some big upset of some kind, is going to be Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. And there's been huge debate for months about is Donald Trump a truly viable Republican candidate? We've heard it from the right. A lot of people are arguing that he won't be, that it'll be disastrous. And, of course, you're hearing that also from the left. So I just decided to go out and look at the map, sort of what the starting point will look like. And it's a known fact, but though often forgotten at this point in a campaign, that the map, particularly since the early 90s when Bill Clinton won, has been a very, very difficult map on a presidential election for Republicans just right off the get-go. Since 1992, every Democratic nominee has won 18 states in the District of Columbia, and if you add those up right now, that's 242 electoral votes. You only need to get to 270. So if Hillary Clinton were to win those same states that every Democratic nominee has won since that time, and the state of Florida, she would become the nominee. The actual sort of backdrop at the moment is a little bit more complicated than that, and then if you add up the, you know, definite blue states and the definite red states and then the lean blue and lean red, you get a slightly lower number for the Democrats and a slightly higher number for the Republicans. But still, it's a difficult pathway from the start. So if you then kind of step back a little bit and just look at the approval numbers at the moment, like how these candidates are regarded, it's interesting just to note that Barack Obama in 2008 was basically tied at this point with John McCain, and in 2012 was up only by about 3 points on Mitt Romney. At the moment, Donald Trump, in the average of all polling, is down by about 6 points to Hillary Clinton, and a CNN poll came out that had him down by double digits. So as a starting point, that's not a good one.
You know what I was thinking? If your negativity ratings and your opponent's negativity ratings total more than 100, you should have to exit the race, but you get to nominate somebody else in your stead.
That could be another amendment to the Constitution. I can see you putting that forward, Gardner.
But based on what you said in terms of the map, though, it does seem like, and I read this once before, it probably still holds true, Democrats seem to be more built for the White House and Republicans seem to be built for Congress, according to those maps.
Well, they're very, you know what it is, it's become, is that the Democrats are built for the White House and the Republicans are built for the House, and where they have a very dominant position. And then in the end, where the fight really has been lately has been over control of the Senate, which is, of course, what we've seen go back and forth now, and which we could easily see go back to the Democratic side this time around.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Global Economics Editor Neil King. He's got a piece called 6 months Out, the General Election Map Looks Tough for Donald Trump. All right, so the other big question I think here, too, is what is he going to do as a candidate in the general election to sort of fend off the negative ads he's about to get clobbered with?
Well, there's a lot of complications that he faces. One, you know, for one, he has just a lot of work to do just sort of on the tonal side of portraying a more kind of moderate, more modulated candidate than he has been so far. And last night, after his big win in Indiana, he did a good job of that in a lot of ways. But the trick is with him, he gives one sort of quasi-presidential speech, and then the next morning or within the next 24 hours, he does something that goes very much in the opposite direction. So people are good. I don't see any reason to expect that will change dramatically in the weeks or months ahead.
Thanks, Neil. Wall Street Journal Global Economics Editor Neil King. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business 4 times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel inside, powerful solution outside.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Good Thursday to you. Welcome aboard. A ceasefire has been arranged between the Syrian government and rebels around the city of Aleppo. The U.S. says it and Russia had arranged it there, where heavy fighting in recent weeks disrupted peace talks and threatened to spark a new wave of refugees. There were conflicting reports as to the timing and duration of the pause, although the situation in Aleppo was relatively calm yesterday, according to the Wall Street Journal, a day after dozens of deadly attacks on both sides of the city, including one at a hospital for pregnancies. Samantha Power is the U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
The party responsible is a U.N. member state, indifferent, cold to the ghastly suffering of its people.
Putting blame squarely on Syria. Meanwhile, the UN special envoy to Syria is warning that if the fighting doesn't ease up, another 400,000 refugees could make their way toward the Turkish border. The U.S. and Russia have agreed to use their influence in Syria to try to lessen the fighting and will also increase staffing and coordination at a ceasefire tracking center in Geneva. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, now the all-but-inevitable Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump, started his first day by announcing he will renege on one of the core tenets of his campaign. Trump says he will accept contributions and will not be self-funding a general election campaign.
I think it's most likely that I will because, you know, you're talking about $1 billion or $1.5 billion.
Trump says he'll work in conjunction with the Republican National Committee to raise the money. More details starting to emerge about Prince's final days. An attorney for a California addiction specialist says the doctor was called by Prince's associates on April 20th to help the musician treat his alleged drug addiction, which was the day before he died. The doctor was unable to travel immediately to Minnesota, so he sent his son, who arrived hours after Prince's death. North Carolina's Republican leaders are calling a federal warning about the legality of the state's new law limiting LGBT anti-discrimination rules, a broad overreach by the government. The Justice Department has sent letters to state officials saying they're violating federal Civil Rights Act's protections and threatened to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding. Here's an extraordinary fact. Just one company generated 60% of total online sales growth last year. If you guessed Amazon, you'd be correct. Forrester Research says the Seattle-based company tallied $23 billion more in U.S. e-commerce sales in 2015 than 2014. Overall, Forrester forecasts that online sales will grow to more than $530 billion by 2020. The Powerball jackpot has grown even larger. There was no jackpot winner in last night's drawing, increasing the prize to about $415 million. Powerball tickets sold in 44 states. And there are few things worse on a plane than a screaming baby. Embarrassment for the parents, misery for other passengers. But JetBlue has found a way to turn crying babies into incentives. On one of its flights from JFK to Long Beach, the airline rewards passengers with discounts of 25% on future flights each time a baby cries. Four cries equals a free flight.
That's funny. I did, my daughter Kendall, she did have a meltdown one time.
Oh, that's awful.
Where were we coming back from? I think we were in Disney. She was young, like maybe, I don't know, two or three. Oh, she just lost it. And there's no explanation sometimes, you know?
It's so sad. Well, their ears hurt all the time, too.
As I learned along the way, though, I read a book called Secrets of the Baby Whisperer, I think it was. And she said, a crying baby does not equal a bad parent.
No,
and that kind of got me over the hump at the time because she was in complete meltdown mode. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. A new survey from the American Speech Language Hearing Association finds that while teenagers and parents spend roughly 5 hours a day on personal tech devices like our phones, they're willing to dial it back. Dr. Janie Handelsman is president of the board of directors at the association. Doctor, what have we learned here?
One of the really good things about this survey was that when both teenagers and parents were made aware of the risks, both groups indicated that they would be willing to change their tech device habits in order to be healthy. And 90% of parents said that they would likely change their own personal tech device habits to be a better role model for their children. And even more interesting is that the millennial group of parents, so parents that are 40 years and younger, who have grown up with devices their whole lives, were more willing than were older parents to change their own personal habits. So that's very encouraging.
Yeah. We're speaking with Janie Handelsman from the American Speech Language Hearing Association, where she is president of the board of directors, talking about concerns about too much tech time for both adults and, say, teenagers and those even younger than that. All right. So it's one thing to say you're interested in changing behavior, another thing to do it. What do you recommend?
So we're recommending a digital diet of sorts, which would include families sitting down together to talk about parameters for tech use in the home, and that they actually consider signing a pledge so that everybody has buy-in and has been out there and saying that they agree to the rules of the game that they've come up with together. We're also suggesting that there be some tech-free time or zones. You could have a room in the house that is tech-free. We're recommending that people not have devices during family dinner time. Another really easy idea is to take a night a week and consider substituting use of technology for doing something fun together.
Mm. Boy, when you mentioned before, and I know I've heard it, the kids as young as two using a tablet or something as a distraction while mom and dad maybe do something else. Any phrase been invented for that? I was thinking of something like we could be heading down the road of like the isolation generation or something.
No, but when we survey our own members, so ASHA surveyed both audiologists and speech language pathologists to see whether they felt like what was happening right now is just sort of the next kind of distraction like television was when it first came out. And 70% of our members, both audiologists and speech language pathologists, indicated that they believe that this is something fundamentally different, and they fear that there is a communication time bomb waiting to go off because of this overuse.
Thanks, Doctor. Dr. Janie Handelsman, president of the board of directors at the American Speech Language Hearing Association. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business four times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel Inside, powerful solution outside.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 5. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Trump will turn to outside money. A federal judge may order Hillary Clinton to testify about her email server. Justice Department says North Carolina's law limiting protections for LGBT people violates federal civil rights laws. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's also Cinco de Mayo. An army officer sues President Obama over the war against ISIS. Next month, you'll have to be 21 to buy cigarettes in California. MSNBC host Chris Matthews caught on a hot mic ogling Melania Trump. And the 85-year-old man setting marathon records. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, where did things go wrong for Texas Senator Ted Cruz in the Republican presidential primary? When he dropped out of the race following a trouncing in Indiana's primary on Tuesday night, it ended 13 months of a campaign that defied naysayers and flexed its organizational prowess. But USA Today reporter Rick Jervis said what it had in strategy and organization, it lacked in staying power and broad voter excitement. He says Mr. Cruz couldn't budge past his core constituents, mostly Tea Party activists. Rick set this up.
Cruz basically ran one of the most organized, disciplined, strategic campaigns of almost any Republican candidate. It started off really strong, but a lot of those machinations, a lot of those sort of maneuvers was sort of perceived as somebody working too much behind the scenes, and ultimately fed into Donald Trump's narrative of that the system's rigged against him.
It almost seemed like he was preparing for the Super Bowl, but then he didn't qualify for the playoffs or something.
Correct, correct. And he had a very strong organizational group, like I said, but what he lacked really, you know, just talking to a lot of voters, talking to a lot of Republican insiders, what he lacked was a sort of emotional appeal, and he lacked this sort of ability to really connect with a broad section of like different voters.
All right, so that's it came down to what, a communication issue for him?
Partly that. A lot of the things which he did, you know, going from ranging from, you know, racking up delegates behind the scenes to if you sort of recall, his like campaign spread a lot of rumors that Ben Carson was actually dropping out of the race after Iowa. A lot of that stuff was sort of perceived as someone who is sort of disingenuous, and that actually came back to sort of haunt him later. Another thing too, you know, he's also kind of widely perceived as somebody who is disliked in Washington, and that actually came out to bear fruit here because, you know, he lacked a lot of support from other Republican elite, from Republican operatives. And when it was time to really coalesce around Cruz to like try to beat Trump, he basically lacked a lot of that sort of support from colleagues.
Right. We're speaking with Rick Jervis, national correspondent at USA Today, about his story entitled "Ted Cruz, Too Strategic for His Own Good." I think to your point a little bit, you quote a political scientist here from Rice University who says Republican primary voters didn't go stampeding for Cruz, which is interesting in a time where like we're guaranteed to have a new president.
Right. Right, and Trump was a sort of master at this, right? Trump at really energizing voters and really energizing his base and bringing in more and more voters under his umbrella, and Cruz was just never able to do that. He was really disciplined. He was great on stage. He was great in speeches. I mean, there are very few candidates who could sort of deliver a speech quite like Cruz, but he just wasn't able to energize beyond his core conservative group.
Was he playing too much defense at times? Is that part of it, Rick?
Yeah. I mean, he had no other choice, right? Because Trump was this kind of runaway phenomenon, and everything which he tried to do didn't seem to be working. You know, part of his sort of strategy was going after evangelical voters like in the South, and you know, he lost a lot of states in the South, and you know, he lost a lot of evangelical voters like Trump as well. So everything he was trying to do, which was his strategy, which was his base, he kept losing that to like Donald Trump.
Thanks, Rick. That's USA Today reporter Rick Jervis. It's 21 minutes now before the hour. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They'll even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL.
Glad you could be with us on this Friday Eve, if you will. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
I won't, by the way. Friday Eve, I won't.
What?
You said if you will, I will not.
Why not?
Because well, you've been trying to pull that on us for like 5 years.
I know.
I can't.
Even after all this time, you're not feeling it just a little bit.
Well, I told you earlier, I have the day off tomorrow, so
yeah,
I'm feeling it more than usual.
Okay.
So maybe I'll let it slide for today.
You're biased.
Next week, not so much.
Okay.
Well, good morning. Here's a note to NFL players. Before you eat that steak on your Cancun vacation, find out where it came from. The NFL and NFL Players Association have warned players in a memo about consuming meat from Mexico and China that might contain clenbuterol, a performance-enhancing drug. NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy McAfee told CNN that the league wanted to warn the players and urge the drug program's independent administrator to send the memo. The tainted meat issue has been brought up before in other sports. A boxer recently tested positive for clenbuterol, and his promoter blamed contaminated meat in Mexico. In 2011, five players on the men's Mexican national soccer team were banned ahead of the Gold Cup after testing positive for the drug. Officials also blamed the failed tests on bad meat eaten by the players. So, you know, you're on vacation, you're trying to enjoy the off season, got a nice big juicy steak in front of you, and it, you know, it may get you suspended this upcoming season because it's got steroids in it.
I don't even know where what clenbuterol is or where it comes from.
I mean, I guess it's some kind of steroid, you know, some kind of performance in it. I mean, NFL players are not allowed to take pretty much anything. NFL players have to, anything that they put in their body, it doesn't matter what it is, there's a possibility that there's something in there that's going to get them in trouble because they have really strict testing there.
The next time I go to my local steakhouse, I'm going to ask, does this have any clenbuterol in it? Because I need to perform this weekend in my over 40 men's soccer league, and I want to make sure I'm not violating any rules.
I'm going to need the manager over here to quiz him on the origins of the meat.
Clenbuterol. Oh, my goodness. Mexico and China. All right. Noted.
And if this was almost anyone else, Gordon, you might not believe it, but it's Bieber, so it actually sounds plausible. NBC News reports that a Houston man is seeking $75,000 in damages from Justin Bieber, alleging that the Canadian pop singer destroyed his cell phone as he videotaped Bieber unsuccessfully gulping from a beer bong at a club following a concert last month. Robert Earl Morgan said in a lawsuit filed Tuesday in Harris County that Bieber, who played a show in Houston on April 9th, scolded him, grabbed the phone, and smashed it into pieces. The lawsuit claims that Morgan was recording the game via Snapchat on his phone when Bieber noticed him and lost his cool, allegedly because Bieber was a novice using the beer pong and had spilled beer all over himself. The lawsuit describes Bieber as a Canadian singer and songwriter who is infamous for his reckless behavior and numerous run-ins with the law. Well, that sounds about right.
If you were
going to send out pretty like a standard description, you know, who was Justin Bieber? Right. That's pretty much what you'd write at this point.
This is the leading reason, by the way, that there is a Bieber ban in my car.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
You're not kidding.
With a tween girl in your household.
He's got 40 number one hits on an album with 13 songs on it. I mean, that's how the math works in my car. So every time I'm driving the kids to, say, soccer or dance, depending on the night, and a Bieber song comes on, the kids know that they are going to lose the radio to blues music if they don't change the Bieber song within 5 seconds.
Oh, okay. So it's up to them to police the situation.
That's
okay.
Right. And if they don't, once 5 seconds pass, that's it. It's gone. It either goes to classic rock or blues, and that's it. And of all things, we believe this, of all things, my daughter and my wife are going to a Bieber concert this Sunday in Philadelphia.
Wow. Yeah. You are obviously not.
No, I'm going to stick pins in my eye instead. It's 8 minutes before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, as wildfires continue to rage in Alberta, the government has declared a state of emergency as two more communities evacuated overnight. Just after midnight, some of the 80,000 residents who fled Fort McMurray were told they would have to move again. Meanwhile, Chad Morrison of Alberta Wildfire says the cause of the fire not yet known.
We're working with investigators to determine if it's either a lightning or human-caused fire. We won't know that for a couple of days yet, at least until we're safe to get in.
Thousands of homes have been destroyed. A federal judge says he may order Hillary Clinton to testify under oath about whether she used a private email server as Secretary of State to evade public records disclosures. The district judge signed an order granting a request from the conservative legal advocacy group Judicial Watch to question six current and former State Department staffers about the private email system. A campaign spokesman says Clinton will cooperate with reviews of her email setup and remains confident that nothing inappropriate took place. London is on course to become the first EU capital with a Muslim mayor as voters go to the polls today, following a bitter campaign that stayed ugly to the end. Labour's Sadiq Khan, the son of a bus driver from Pakistan, is expected to beat his main rival, environmentalist Zach Goldsmith. Researchers believe they have found the ship that legendary explorer Captain James Cook used to sail around the world, submerged in Rhode Island's Newport Harbor. Cook sailed the Endeavour to claim Australia for the British during his historic 1768 to 71 voyage. The vessel was then used as part of a fleet the British used to blockade Newport Harbor in 1778. And a Washington State driver who had a monkey on his back wound up with handcuffs on his wrists. Police near Seattle say a driver crashed into a rock after being clocked going 112 miles an hour Wednesday morning. He ran from the crash but returned to grab his pet monkey out of the car. Responding officers easily identified the man since he was running away with the monkey on his back.
Oh, yeah. I could see where that would be fairly noticeable.
Who drives around with a monkey?
I don't know. Or at 112 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's
on a motorcycle. Right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like being a top 10 pro-business state, or 2,000, the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And six, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
If you run for exercise, you might be motivated by a story from Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay, who profiled a Canadian man named Ed Whitlock, who recently ran a half marathon in 1 hour, 50 minutes, and 47 seconds. Not bad for a guy who's 85 years old or young. That finish time in Waterloo, Ontario, was a world record for a male runner aged 85 to 89, breaking the prior record by more than 9 minutes. Over the last couple of decades, the retired engineer from Milton, Ontario, has built a reputation as one of the planet's great masters runners with a number of world records. At 73, Whitlock ran a full marathon in 2:55. At 80, he ran a marathon in 3:16. Whitlock trains in a cemetery, running small loops for hours on end. He doesn't pay strict attention to diet, takes no supplements. He runs with no music, no gadgets, and almost always by himself. At the moment, though, he's not doing much running. He's resting his knees a few days. He'll get over that, by the way, because after all, 15 years ago, a doctor told him his running days were over. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.